I'm going to jump into the Word of God, and I'm going to spend a little bit here today. I've been sharing on hearing from God, and I think this is something that we all desire. Turn over for a minute, if you will, before we start. This doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, but turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And let's just take a look. This is just wanted to share something here along the lines of hearing from God. You know, in order to be used by God, wouldn't you think you need to hear from Him? That will be evident, right? If you're going to be used by God in the gifts of the Spirit, you would have to hear from Him. So look at verse chapter 14, and I'll start in a minute in this lesson, but I just wanted to start here for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, follow after what? Charity, or we could say follow after love. And what? Desire spiritual gifts. And what? But rather that you may prophesy. Now, he's not talking here about offices in the church. He's not talking about the office of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. He's not talking about offices in the church. He's talking to us all, or you could say y'all. He's talking to all of us. He's talking to the church. Here in this case, he's talking to the church at Corinth. And you could say to us, we're in the body of Christ. So here he's saying, it's okay to desire spiritual gifts. What does that mean? That means we can desire the revelatory gifts, which means the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. We can desire spiritual gifts. We can desire those gifts that do something and say something. What do you mean by do something? The gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles. We can desire spiritual gifts. We can desire tongues, interpretation of tongues. But he also says here, what? But rather that you may prophesy. That means all of us, not somebody that sits in an office, but all of us can desire spiritual gifts and prophesy. So this isn't something that God just drops on select few. But yet, in an office, those gifts need to be evident. Is this making this a little clearer? So this isn't some little, you know, I wonder why God uses them to prophesy all the time. Well, maybe it's because they desire it, and you don't, or you haven't. See, so this isn't something we just wait on God to do something. He's saying here, you can desire this. And so along with that, what would it take to have that operate in your life? Well, that's what we're talking about here, hearing from God. Now, this is an old set of another lessons on the gifts of the Spirit. But if the gifts of the Spirit are going to operate in and through you, you're going to need to hear from God, clearly. Or otherwise, you're going to be inaccurate. Right? Would that make sense to anybody? think that's pretty clear, right? So now I can jump into this list because we're talking about hearing from God, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. No charge for that, right? That may help somebody. I don't know. It helps me every now and then to hear it because we need to remind ourselves we need to desire some things that God has made available to us. Because otherwise, I'll just say it this way, there's a lot of work to be done for God, and it's going to take the supernatural to do it. Teaching has a place, preaching has a place, but the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural, is what's going to really make inroads and impact in and for the work of God. So we need to desire those things. Amen. So let's turn over to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Now, I believe this group that I'm teaching to today has heard the Word of God enough that this is not going to just necessarily be milk. Anybody understand what that means? It's going to be a little more meat today to chew on and feed upon. So Romans chapter 8, and starting in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, verse 16, the Spirit, and I'd rather say himself because that's what the modern translations render. "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Now, I'm going to stop here and we'll just highlight this because we shared this last week. Notice what he bore witness to. He didn't bear witness with your head. He didn't bear witness with your soul. He didn't bear witness with your feelings. He bore witness with what? Your spirit. So when we talk about the spirit of man, we're talking about the inward man. We're not talking about the outward man. So he's not dealing with our feelings, what we see, what we taste, see, and so forth. This is the inner man. This is the real you, the spirit man. And that's what we're talking about. And you can see here, I'll just read it to you. It talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 12, I believe it is. Verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So we have an inward man and we have an outward man. We're talking about the inward man here. We're talking about the spirit man. This is who God contacts. This is who he interacts with or speaks to or reveals to. Things that we need to know by the Spirit of God. This is where he communicates with us and reveals things to us. So what we were talking about over the last, at least the last lessons, is there's a few ways that God interacts with us or he speaks to us. Let me just say it that way. The main primary way that he speaks to us is through the Word of God. That's the primary way that God speaks to us, is the Word of God. And the secondary way is the inward witness, which is what we just read here. We just read, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." That's the two primary ways that God speaks to us is through the Word of God, which is primary. Secondary, or secondarily, is the inward witness. Now, there's a third way. That's the still small voice in our heart, in our spirit. There's a still small voice. It's your spirit speaking to you, and the Spirit of God bears witness, or not bears witness, He speaks, or there's a co-witness. In other words, your heart hears things from, excuse me, from the Holy Spirit. But it's the voice of your spirit speaking. So the inward, still, small voice is another way that that God speaks to us. And then, of course, the fourth way is the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's a more authoritative voice. And, of course, I'm being impressed. I may start at the beginning of the year, sometime early in the year, I'm going to start teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And so in this area, when we talk about the more authoritative voice in the Old Testament, you can see where the prophet said, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying." That's the Spirit of God speaking. An authoritative voice. Now, it's still in your spirit, but it sounds like somebody's speaking. You know, you just like me talking right now, you'd say, think about what happened. What did Eli do? He said, who's talking? Did you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. The prophet said, no, I didn't call you. So it was the Lord speaking to him. Where? In his spirit. So those are the primary ways. What do we say? We say the primary way that God speaks to us is through his word and by the inward witness. Then we said the still small voice and the Spirit of the Lord authoritatively, those ways. Now, in order to hear God clearly, it's going to take some, there's going to have to be some things on our part, a sensitivity, what's the word I want to say here? Let's turn over just for a moment. Well, you're in chapter 8. Look at verse 5 of chapter 8. And I'm going to make this statement. What you put your mind on, you set your heart to, or you open your heart up to. So what you set your mind on, the things that you think about, the things that you meditate upon, you open your heart up to. So look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 5 and 6. It says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind," see that word, "do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit," you could say here, "do mind the things of the Spirit." Now look at verse 6, "To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So when we put our mind on carnal things, what would you consider something carnal? Something that's not godly, not spiritual, right? So something that is ungodly would be something there, or there's no God in it at all. God's been removed. So something that we may read, something we may listen to, something we may talk about and put our mind on that's not godly, it's fleshly, it's carnal, and this says here, it's death. So what does that mean? When I spend a lot of time thinking about something and meditating in areas, it can dull. When we talk about death, yeah, it can go to the extreme, is if you meditate upon that long enough, then you begin to put yourself over into the extreme where it can affect you, it could cause death. But death to me is darkness. So if I'm putting my mind on things that are not spiritual, there's no light in it. There's confusion. There's darkness. I don't know what I'm, you know, in other words, if you're looking for guidance, you're looking for direction from the Spirit of God, is darkness. So when we spend a lot of time meditating, putting our mind on fleshly things, there's no light in it. There's darkness. But this says here, to be spiritually minded is to be what? There's life and peace. There's light. There's peace with that. There's direction. There's guidance from the Holy Ghost. So one area that we're talking about is to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But in order to be used by God to is in one way, you're going to have to be more spiritually minded. And in order to hear clearly from God, you can't be, you know, looking at gun smoke and as the world turns and all of this kind of stuff and looking at all of these kind of things and have my mind so clouded up with worldly things and hear God clearly. It won't work. It won't work. And people who go around doing those kind of things that say, "Thus saith the Lord," you will know them by their fruit. Because just because somebody says, "Thus saith the Lord," doesn't mean it's "Thus saith the Lord." So you need to be sensitive, and I can tell you that the more spiritually sensitive you are, you will know the true from the false. Because this says here, in what we just got done reading in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, it says, I can desire spiritual gifts. The more spiritual that I am, God will begin to reveal to me that's false. That's not true. That's not accurate. And he'll begin to reveal to us individually and personally, he will guide us and help us so that we're not swayed. You understand what I mean like that? Or tricked, or another word, bamboozled, or whatever way you want to talk. I'll say it, you won't be hoodwinked. You know what I'm talking about. In spiritual things. Does that make sense? So you will have a solid foundation, but it's going to take being more spiritual. Now you might say, well, I'm spiritual already. So that means you know everything there is about the Spirit of God. I don't think so. See, there's always other levels that you can grow to. You can grow from this level to this level to this level to this level. And we can see that Enoch walked with God and he was no more. So obviously he went from some levels to levels to levels and walked with God and was no more. So we can never say I arrived, because when you do, you just missed it. We're just being foolish, right? That's the truth. So to be sensitive in the spirit, number one, we're going to have to develop the human spirit that we have. This spirit of ours is going to have to be developed. Now let me use an example. When you develop something, it means you become more aware of something, right? If I'm developing an area in my life, I'm focused on it, I put my mind on it, I gave my attention to it, I'm very aware of that area because I'm spending some time on it. Let's use a simple example. If I went to the gym and I start working out and I'm exercising, and I'm lifting weights, and I'm doing things, and exercising, doing all of this. And about a day, I'm going to be very aware of those muscles that I used. I'm going to be very aware that something's being used in this area, and it don't even have to be going to the gym. You're doing something you never did before. You're going to be very aware, right? So we're talking about developing something so that when I want to develop more sensitivity in my spirit, then I'm going to have to focus and do something in that area so that I'm more aware in that area. So what is that thing that I need to do? I need to be more spiritually minded so that the things that I'm focused on and be putting down in here, I'm more aware of God, right? Just like I'm more aware of these sore muscles, right? So as I'm, you know, what are the ways that God speaks to us? We heard that. He speaks to us through his word. So the more time I spend in the word of God, it's going to cause this area down here to be more aware of him. Think about it just this way. We want to be able to hear from God. Well, who's the one speaking to us? The Spirit of God. Who was the one that inspired the word of God? The Holy Spirit did. He inspired people to write it. So the more I spend time in the Word of God, when I hear him, what is what I hear going to sound like? This. Because he's the one that inspired it. So I can't be off when I'm hearing the Word come up out of my spirit. I'm hearing just exactly what the Spirit of God spoke and inspired. It's the spirit of, what's the another way I'm trying to say all of this today. When we spend time and we open ourselves up to things, there's a spirit that's influencing what I'm focused on. So it's not just me watching a television show or reading a newspaper article or meditating on something. I'm not just reading words. There was a spirit, the Holy Spirit, that was behind this that inspired the words to be penned on this page. There's a spirit behind this, the Holy Spirit. But when I start watching television programs and reading newspaper articles and thinking about things, there's a spirit behind that that motivates people to pen it, and it's death. And you open your spirit up to it. Because what you put your mind on, you open your spirit up to. And when you meditate upon that, it dulls your spirit. It darkens some things. And it makes you less sensitive to him. Does that make sense to folks? See, we want to hear from God. We want to hear clearly from God. But the main primary way that we're going to hear from God is we've got to develop this inward man. This spirit man has got to be developed. And part of developing this spirit man that we have is we're going to have to feed upon the Word of God, be more spiritually minded, because when we are, there's life, there's peace, there's direction. Is anybody hooking up with any of this? Because I believe the Holy Ghost is stirring my heart here to make this as clear as possible to us. That the more we spend time, and this is what I was trying to say, what we're talking about here in chapter 8, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit." Because the Spirit of God, there is a Spirit, and we'll say this again, those things that we put our mind on, we open our heart up to. And there's a Spirit, just like the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to pen this. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. And God breathed into this word. And the Spirit of God penned, caused these men and women in the Old Testament to pen this. And it's breathed with God. And it's breathed with life and light and love. And so when we feed upon things that are ungodly, it's got no God in it. It's got death in it. And when we feed upon it, there's a spirit of death that's inspired people to do those things. And when we feed upon it and get it down in this spirit of ours, it hinders our sensitivity and hearing to God. I just want to say that again because it's clear, so that it's clear to y'all. So again, what we're talking about is we need to exercise, what do we say? We need to focus on the spirit of man. Just like you focus on exercising, when you focus on a particular area, you become more aware of that area. Just like I'm exercising, I'm more aware. If I'm exercising my arm, I'm going to be very aware of the muscles in that arm. And the same way, if I spend more time in the Word, I spend more time praying in the Spirit, I spend more time praising Him, singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, what is it affecting? It's affecting my spirit. And I become more aware of my spirit. Is that making sense to folks? Because if it's not, I'll stop and go over it again. I'm serious, because it's going to mean the difference. See, you bump around in life. You know, sometimes people are bumping around because they're not spiritually sensitive. Their spirit has been dulled with things because they've been put their mind on the wrong things. They're not hearing God clearly. They're not hearing the Spirit within them clearly. Amen. So here's the thing. If you want to be sharp spiritually, you cannot be worldly. Now, what do I mean by that? Anything that's worldly is ungodly. And in order for us to be spiritually sensitive to God, you can't have this mixture. And yes, and I say this all the time, what may be okay for me to do and look at and read may not be okay for you. And what God, each one of us is at a different place. And the one who leads and guides you is the Spirit of God. He knows you. No pastor, no person is your guide. The Holy Ghost is your guide. We are here to help, to nurture, assist as needed, share the Word of God, listen for God to help unfold the Word of God to you and for you, inspired by God. But the person that's going to lead you in life is the Spirit of God. He's the one that will convict. He's the one that will say, don't do that. Don't read that. Don't go there. Don't be a part of that. Not me. So the more you feed your spirit and you exercise your spirit, the more aware you will be of your spirit. And you will be a more aware of Him, the one that's in your spirit. I hope that makes or connects with you. This is what we're trying to focus on here a little bit. So, as I was saying here, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, it's going to require us to focus on that particular area. Turn over a second just to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hope this is helping a little bit this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and look at verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10 and 16. I'm going to read it from the King James for a minute. It says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" I'm going to stop here and say that word communion is koinonia. It means fellowship. So we could say it this way, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. So when we talk about communion and fellowship, see the word here, it talks fellowship, and it also uses this word, we are all what? Partakers. So when we have fellowship, we partake of what we commune with and what we fellowship with. So when we commune with things that are not godly, we partake of that. We commune with it. And we partake of that which inspired it. Because it's spiritual. And the same thing. When we commune with God, when we commune with His Word, we partake of Him. We partake of the one that inspired it. We become more sensitive spiritually. So that's what I wanted to share there. Now just, if you would, back up or go forward to Galatians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 22. Well, actually, before we go there, just keep your finger there in Galatians 5, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to jump over to Galatians 5 in a second, but we'll go to 1 Corinthians. So, depending on how sensitive we want to be to the Spirit of God, we are going to partake of something. We are going to commune with something. Every day in life, we're communing with something. We're fellowshipping, we're partaking with something. And it's either going to be carnal or spiritual. One or the other. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now look at what Paul writes here to the church at Corinth. What does he say in chapter 11? Verse 1, he says, "Be ye followers of who? Me, even as I also am of Christ," meaning I'm a follower of Christ. You be a follower of me. So here's another way that we can commune and partake of and be sensitive and learn the ways of the Spirit is follow those who are. Follow those who know the ways of the Spirit and are sensitive to His ways. This is what Paul is saying here. Be followers of me. is, even as I also am of Christ. So I'm just sharing some ways that we can become sensitive. When we follow someone, we partake of what they share. We partake of their ways. And we learn. Because when we're in the presence of God, and the presence of God is manifested, those that are followers will begin to sense his presence, sense his move, and sometimes you need to have someone who knows the ways of the Spirit of God, and you follow them, you watch them. How do they interpret how the Holy Ghost is moving? And you learn. That's why Paul is saying that. Because the Corinthian church, they needed some direction. And so he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. What does that mean? Let's say it another way. You follow me as I follow the anointing. Isn't that another way you could say it? So as he followed the anointing, the anointed one, and his anointing, he followed that. And people learned by watching him follow. That's another way that we can become learned in spiritual things and sensitive to his ways. Because sometimes we may sense some things, but we're like, okay, I'm not sure. But someone who's there who can interpret the way, we go, oh, I see, yes. See, this is helping somebody. So,
All right,
Pastor. I'm just following the Spirit. All right. 1 Corinthians. Let's go back. We're going back to Galatians chapter 5. So we're saying, okay, here's another way. The primary way that that God communicates to us is through the Word of God, right? Through the Word of God, he speaks to us, he directs us. So look at Galatians chapter 5 and look at this in verse 22. It says, but... And he begins to show here from verse 19 through down, he shows the difference between the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, right? But my point here, I'm not focusing on this where the flesh is concerned, but we're talking about being sensitive, knowing the ways of the Spirit, hearing from God, being directed by him. How does he lead us? How does he direct us? Well, you can see here, look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, if the Holy Ghost is going to lead us, is he going to lead us through hatred? No. He says right here, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. So you can see, what do we just got done reading? At the beginning of, before I started sharing, what does it say? Follow after charity. Follow after love. So he's going to lead us by love, by compassion. Is he not? He's not going to lead us by hatred. He's going to lead us by love. And the same thing here. You can see here, the primary way is love. Follow after love. Desire spiritual gifts. And so here he says, joy, peace, long-suffering. So you can see here, he's going to lead us in this way He's not going to lead us by depression. He's not going to lead us by worrying. He's not going to lead us by impatience or harshness. He's not going to lead us. He's going to lead us by love and joy and peace and long-suffering. It's the way the Holy Ghost is going to lead us. See? So when you find yourself being impatient as not God, as flesh, if you're worrying, it's not the Holy Ghost. If you feel, you know, some kind of way towards somebody, that's not the Holy Ghost leading. That's not love leading. See, we're talking about being sensitive to and hearing from God. And these things, if we want to follow after hatred and giving people a piece of our mind, then it's going to ultimately will have an effect on your spirit man. It will affect you hearing him and being sensitive to his ways. His ways are the ways of the word. The Holy Ghost's ways are this way. Right? Turn over just a second to Colossians. You're right there. Go over to Colossians. And look at verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "And let the peace of God do what? Rule in your heart." Not frustration. Don't let that rule. Don't let worry rule. It says, let the peace. Let means you're going to have to do something. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. There's a translation that says, let it act as an umpire, settling with finality the decisions we make. It's the umpire. It's the one that calls the shot. Not my flesh. My heart, let peace be the umpire. You can go through. There's some other translations that say something similar. But peace, which is exactly what we just got done seeing here in the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about that in Galatians 5, it said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And when these things are evident, when they're nourished, when they're let to be working, and we let them work in our spirit, we're more sensitive to his ways, and we can hear him and be directed by him. Amen. So I think we've gone enough. There's a lot I've shared this morning, a lot to chew on, a lot to meditate upon. Let's see if there's one more thing I want to just share. But in order to be sensitive to his ways and his spirit, we're going to have to let these things, let the Spirit of God, let him have his way in our heart. We're going to have to feed upon the Word of God and be more spiritually minded where things are concerned. I think I'm going to kind of wrap it here, because there's a lot that was shared upon here, and if you just take a little portion of this and meditate upon the Word of God, and as you go through life, as you go through your everyday activity, check, you know, when you begin to put your mind upon something and you begin to meditate upon things, and that doesn't mean we're going through life, we're going to have to do daily tasks. We're going to have to do, we have jobs to do. We're going to have to use our mind where certain things are concerned. But with that, those things that I have a choice to spend my time on, I'm going to make some choices, and I guess the best way to say this is, when it comes to the things that I should be doing and not doing, we should be asking God for His direction. We should be asking Him, should I read this? Should I not do this? Ask the Lord for His direction. In other words, part of this is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let me just go back here and look at this again. He said, follow after charity, or follow after love, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. So if I can desire spiritual gifts, if I can desire that these gifts operate through me, and I can desire to prophesy, then that means to me there's some things that qualify me to be used in that area, or I can be disqualified, right? Or not be, not usable, or not in a position to be used. And so if we are to desire these, so that I can be used of God, to be a mouthpiece for God, to be His spokesman here in the earth, then there's some things that would qualify me to be able to be in that position, right? Well, that's what we just got. I'm kind of summarizing that. That's just exactly what we said. You can't be carnally minded. You can't be worldly minded. You're going to have to be spiritually minded. That begins to qualify you. Yes, we're all in the body of Christ. We're all going to heaven. But there's more than just going to heaven. He's saying you should be all desiring spiritual gifts. You should all desire to prophesy. And in these times that we live, I'll tell you the truth, people are not, I'm talking about even sinners. They could probably quote the scripture to you. But I'll tell you one thing that it's lacking. It's lacking love, and it's lacking the gifts of the Spirit. What did Paul say? I didn't come in with man's wisdom, but I came in power and demonstration of the Spirit. And I can tell you, when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation and it's legitimate, they'll know the difference. And it'll be with love and peace, and it won't be harsh. It won't be all the clanging cymbals, and you know, it will not be harsh where people are concerned. It'll be with love and compassion. And so we all should desire these things, and we should desire to hear God clearly, but we need to position ourselves in order to be used in a greater way. Does that help some? We should all be desiring to be used in a greater way. We are His disciples. We are His mouthpiece, we are His hands, His feet, we're His body here in the earth. And they should see God manifested in and through us, not just use quoting somebody a scripture verse, but there should be more. When we come into the presence of God, let me just share this and I'll close. God will manifest, and he will manifest the gifts of the Spirit will manifest in an atmosphere. We create an atmosphere for God to manifest. That's why, yes, we come in a public assembly. We may sing some worship songs. We may sing a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song. We will worship God, and it creates an atmosphere for God to move and to speak and to unction us, even me, to teach and to hear him clearer. But you as an individual, how do you create an atmosphere so that you hear clearly? You feed on this. You create an atmosphere where? In your heart. You sing psalms. You sing a song. You quote scripture. You meditate on things. And what happens is, when you go out into society, there the presence of God is stirred up in your heart. When you walk into settings, you'll have a word of wisdom. You'll have a word of knowledge. You lay hands and heal the sick. And because why? You've stirred up God's presence where? In here, inside. So we need to also be conscious that God's presence, when he is stirred in our hearts, you're creating a climate for him to move. Where? Through you. So those are just some things we're just sharing from our heart this morning. I hope it helps. It's a lot to, I'm going to make sure that these messages come up here so that you have them. I mean, they'll be online so you can listen to them. But it would help you to go back and listen to this, meditate on it. My heart is stirred. I believe the Holy Ghost was saying something this morning, and was saying something impactful to you to get. And I believe if you will take it to heart and not just be a hearer of it, but a doer of it, and begin to implement these things. And here's the thing. Think about this just as a thought. In order for something to have... what's the word I want to use? In order for there to be development, how did you develop as an individual? You ate food. You ate a lot of food. You exercised. You read books. You developed physically. You developed mentally. So you read books. You studied. You ate. You exercised. You did all of those things. But did you do it all at once? No. You did it in what? Little degrees. Little degrees, little degrees, little degrees, little degrees, and here you are, an adult. It's the same way spiritually. Sometimes people think they just have to shut themselves off from the world, and, they just go the other extreme, right? If you just spend 10, 15 minutes, a half an hour in the Word, what are you doing? You're developing your spirit, man. You sing a song, you sing, you keep your spirit nurtured just like you ate. You ate a little bit today, and you ate a little bit tomorrow, and you exercised a little bit today, and you exercised a little bit tomorrow. And you do what? You develop. It's the same way spiritually. You're not going to get to this place overnight, but there's development. It's like somebody who works out in a gym. You didn't get there overnight. That took years of what? Development. And it's the same way spiritually. Sometimes, we want to jump from A to Z. It doesn't work that way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God.